Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, October 20th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
It's opposition parties galore, with former Energy Minister Elton Mangoma set to be elected leader of the newly formed Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe Party.
Many say he's a lightweight, but African National Party President Egypt Dzinemu Nenzwa says he will unseat President Mugabe come 2018.
We opened the contest to everyone. So the positions that we have, which will be contested for, we've got the position of the president, and the nomination that we received is that of Elton Steers Mangoma.
And First Lady Grace Mugabe's name thrown into student politics as candidates vie positions in the Chinoye University of Technology Students Union.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe Party, led by Elton Mangoma, in an interim capacity, is set to hold its inaugural Congress this weekend, with the former energy minister almost set to be elected the substantive leader of the new opposition party. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Interim RDZ spokesperson Pichai Muchauraya told a news conference in Harare today that Mangoma is unlikely to be challenged at the party's inaugural congress set for this weekend.
We opened the contest to everyone. So the positions that we have, which will be contested for, we've got the position of the president, and the nomination that we received is that of Elton Steers Mangoma. That is the vice president. We received BUTK, the national chairperson. We have Peter Nyoni, who will be contesting with Mr. Tafara Ngole. Vice chairperson there is Mr. Shadrack Chipangura. The secretary general, there will be Trustee Chikohora. The deputy secretary general, there is Kosten Mguti. Our national organizing secretary, there will be a contest between Mr. Tichona Munyanyi and Mr. Jim Jalifi.
However, independent political analyst Mlondolozi Ndlovu said from the list of candidates vying for leadership positions at the RDZ's Congress, it was clear that the opposition outfit has no national appeal and would most certainly be a regional party.
For them to be saying, we are Democrats and not having an equal representation of other provinces, it shows that they are hypocrites. They really don't say what they mean when they say they are renewal for Democrats. We're expecting to see a change in terms of their political discourse and political operations. Otherwise, there is no change. It's one-sided. It's mainly from one region, which is Manicaland. I think that is one of their undoing.
But Muchauraya dismissed this, saying members of his party had been given enough time to express their interest in party positions but did not submit their names. He, however, added that party members still have a chance to contest for leadership positions at the Congress, as they have up to midnight Thursday to show their interest. Prior to the weekend Congress, the RDZ party held congresses for its youth and women's wings, electing Fortune Munyonga as youth president, while Hilda's Banda was elected the chairperson of the Women's Assembly. Meanwhile, Muchauraya told journalists that his party will contest the 2018 national elections, adding that they are determined to romp to victory despite the absence of key democratic reforms in Zimbabwe. Other political parties, such as the MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, former Finance Minister Simbamakoni's Mavambokusile Dawn Party, and the National Constitutional Assembly, have demanded electoral reforms before polls are held.
the political playing field is not even, but it not being even is not a license to give ZANU-PF the free ride to power. Politics is like a game of rugby, so you cannot expect a hassle-free sale to power. We have to contest them and defeat them on the game.
Responding to a question from one journalist on the possibility of RDZ's participation in a coalition of political parties that is being mooted by Mr. Tsvangirai and others in the opposition, like the yet-to-be-launched People First Movement, Muchaoraya said his party would not work with former ZANU-PF members, whom he said were responsible for murdering innocent civilians.
You know how many people lost their lives through those people? If they're here, say we're in an alliance with some of them, you know them, and in RDZ that we're talking about reparations.
Ndlovu says opposition parties must find each other if they are to wrestle power from the ruling ZANU-PF party in the next elections. Although most of the opposition parties are preaching the coalition gospel since the disputed 2013 elections, nothing is on the ground to suggest that they would ultimately form that coalition ahead of the polls. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Student elections in Zimbabwe have always been hotly contested. Now, with a day to go before union polls at the Chinoye University of Technology, the Zimbabwe National Students Union leader at the university, Joanna Mamombe, says First Lady Grace Mugabe's name is being used by ZANU-PF activists who are meddling in student politics in the province. Arthur Chigoriwa has more from Chinoye.
Mamombe, who is vying for the president in the Chinoye University's Student Representative Council, says the Zimbabwe Congress of Students Union, ZICOSU, is distributing t-shirts embezzled with the face of the First Lady, a move she says is a desperate and also meant to intimidate students into voting for candidates with links to the ruling party.
To us, it's actually an intimidation that these elections, they're focusing on the students' issues. But surprisingly, they're bringing in national politics where they're intimidating students by wearing these unconquerable t-shirts of Grace Mugabe. So to us, we see that it's very unfair because we expect that this election to be fair and to focus on the students' issues.
Mamombe says the ZANU-PF has petitioned the university administration and the security to demand that the course members be told to stop wearing Grace Mugabe's t-shirts. But the course aspiring presidential candidate, Watson Mabasa, defended his team for wearing the First Lady's t-shirts.
We are saying, as a union, our ideologies, they are linked or they are directly connected to those of ZANU-PF. So we have no problems with wearing t-shirts that you've got Amai's pictures.
The message on the t-shirts reads, Gorerino titadziza zvakawanda, or when translated, this year we will learn a lot. In the front and on the back, the message continues, Gorere zvidzidzo unconquerable, munhuwese kuna Amai, or the year of learning unconquerable, everyone to the First Lady. ZANU-PF sources who declined to be identified at the Chinoye ZANU-PF provincial offices distanced the party from student elections, adding the t-shirts that not been distributed by them. But the course aspiring Secretary General Tawanda Marange insists they were given the t-shirts by Grace Mugabe during a rally at Murombezi Growth Point.
We met the First Lady at one of the rallies, and she gave us some t-shirts, which every member has got, every school member got that t-shirt. Since we believe in him as well, we believe in the First Lady.
Despite their differences, both the ZANU-PF and the ZANU-PF are in agreement through their manifestos that learning conditions are tough at the university where some students are still taking classes under trees.
So we are going to push the admin of Chinua University to provide classrooms where we are going to get quality education. Because honestly, how can someone learn from under the tree or from the hostel? And yet we are saying that this is a university which is focusing on technology.
The students are loving the campaigns because to them it means free meals from aspiring candidates. Chamunor Wagwena is one such student.
So as students of ZANU-PF, she supports us very well. That's why we are wearing it. They give us free meals. They even give us free meals from ZANU-PF through math.
At least 8 candidates are vying for the president of the University Students' Union, as many students complain that the administration should create a better learning environment for them. Reporting for Studio 7 at Chinua University of Technology, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
I am Blessing Zulu. This week and the following one, I'll be bringing you a range of interviews from ZANU-PF and Zimbabwe's opposition parties on their solutions to the country's economic and political crisis. Today, we feature Egypt Zinemu Nenja of the African National Party, and tomorrow we will feature Elton Mangoma of the Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe. Don't miss this very important series.
Well, just as Blessing told us, today we are featuring African National Party President Egypt Zinemu Nenja, who's often the butt of political jokes in Zimbabwe. He has provided comic relief over the years, stretching back to 1990 when he started contesting the incumbent President Robert Mugabe in polls, but getting insubstantial votes. One thing, though, his message has always been consistent that ZANU-PF was ruining the country. With headquarters in rural Wedza, Mashonaland East Province, he says though many are not taking him seriously, he has strategies to defeat Mr. Mugabe in 2018. He accuses President Robert Mugabe of being autocratic and sidelining the real heroes of the country's struggle against colonialism.
On the point of economy, the economy is more than the way it works. There are two things in the country, which are the backbone of the country. Firstly, it's farming. Secondly, it's the industry. Those things are dead. They are not working. And plus, the whites who are in Zimbabwe, now are in Zambia and Mozambique. Now we are starting borrowing at the average which they are making. From Zambia and Mozambique. Apart from that, the land is idle. No one is plowing it. Well, they only want the name of Zimbabwe, but not production.
But if you are elected president, Mr. Zinemu Nenja, what will you do differently from what we are seeing now?
Well, without policies or strategies which we have already laid them on ground, those points, I cannot say them now because they didn't solve our plan before we come to the point.
But there are some who are saying, well, how can Mr. Zinemu Nenja win an election when he is headquartered in rural Wedza? Why not move to a city like Harare or Bulawayo?
It doesn't matter. Wedza is part of Zimbabwe. We have got some branches of our offices in different countries, in different towns. All those things, we've already arranged them. But there are certain times we are waiting so that we can publish all those issues.
And Mr. Zinemu Nenja, are you confident that you will defeat Mr. Mugabe in 2018?
Yes. I know what to do. I know how to work it out. I know what happened during the whole period. Because most of the things I was responsible, but I was cheated.
Are you a war veteran or you were just collaborating?
Myself, I'm the one who started the liberation in 1966 on the 20th April at the Chinua Ghetto.
So you were actually...
Apart from that, Mr. Mugabe doesn't want those people who went to war during the Baling story. He wants those people who who went to war during his leadership.
Are you willing to work with other parties to form a coalition?
I am willing to work with other parties, but I don't want to go into them because I know the systems which the Zimbabweans mostly do. They want to want to benefit with other people. They want to have some changes with other people.
But your critics are saying we only see Mr. Dzinem Nenzwa come the presidential election. We never hear from him during all this time.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that completely. I want the truth, nothing else. And I don't want to be cheated. I don't want to be groomed. When I promise, fulfill your promises. When you show the oath, fulfill the oath. Listen, Mugabe swore the oath, but he is not doing what he is doing for.
And that was the leader of the opposition African National Party, Egypt, Dzinem Nenzwa, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Wedza, Mashonaland East.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
we look at the state of the country's economy.
But before that, let's take a look at regional and international news.
Chinese President Xi Jinping is in Britain for a four-day visit that the British government is touting as an opportunity for the two countries to boost trade and investment, while human rights advocates urge questions about China's human rights record.
Police in the Republic of Congo fired tear gas today to break up protests against a constitutional referendum aimed at keeping President Denis Sassou Nguesso in power.
And a court in India has convicted a driver for the mobile ride-sharing company Uber of raping a female passenger in a New Delhi last year.
Economists are skeptical about the statement by Industry Minister Mike Beamer that the economy is on the rebound and that there is renewed investor confidence in Zimbabwe. Beamer told the state-controlled Herald newspaper today that the rebound is supported by the high number of businesses willing to inject capital into various sectors of the economy. Economic commentator Rejoice Ngwenya is one of those disputing the minister's assessment of the economy. He told us earlier on that all economic indicators point to the contrary.
Well, the point is that, when you're talking about an economy that is in rebound, there are specific milestones or indices that you look at. You look at the stock exchange or the bond, and you see that several local companies that are quoted on the stock exchange, they have lost their prices. Share prices have gone down. There is a lack of confidence in the stock exchange, which means a couple of billions of dollars have been lost out, which means that there is very little confidence in the investment. And secondly, when you are looking at the nature of inflation, there is some kind of deflation, and the price index and the consumer basket is said to have gone down because inflation has gone down simply because prices have gone down, because consumption has gone down. So when a nation is not consuming, I do not understand how a basic economist can say that the economy is on the rebound. It is misinformation, really.
But when we look at the policies that Minister Beamer says are working, is there any kind of indication that the policies are working at all?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about indigenization, obviously there's no such thing, because economic policies that are working can never have an immediate impact. Of course, I mean, Beamer would say that he imposed a number of tariffs on certain goods that are imported into the country, consumer goods or grocery goods, which means that technically speaking, can be a re-injection of vitality in the local manufacturing industry to compensate for the imported goods. But that is very significant. If you get into the supermarket, I think still about 60% to 70% of the goods are still imported from South Africa. So I don't know which kind of a rebound is talking about. Indigenization, it's a no-no. My gripe with Patrick Joao's indigenization model is that it's a redistributive policy. It does not create wealth. It takes wealth from one person and gives it to another person. So that is not creating wealth. That is merely distributing. So again, I don't agree with them.
The power cuts that have been introduced, reducing power supply to about 6 hours, are they having any negative impact on the economy?
Well, you mentioned a very good point that if you are talking about an economy that is already operating at 36% capacity, production capacity, with a power scenario that is almost 50% down. So it is impossible to see how any basic economist, even a first year, a student of economics, would associate the decline of power production with also the decline of economy. I mean, when the big fertilizer company closes down because there is no electricity, I do not see how else that can contribute to the growth rate. So you are right. If you do your calculations correctly, the massive amount of power outages, the extended hours of power cuts, means that the industry has stopped producing. So that really means that all the ministers of ZANPF talking about an economy that will rebound, instead of looking through the glass, they are looking at a mirror and they are only seeing an image of them.
That was economic commentator Rejoice Ngwenya on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
A Zimbabwean-born development expert, Kutula Machazi, has won an election in the land of Inuit in Ukuluwit, the largest city in the capital of Canadian territory of Nunavut, in national elections that have been by the opposition landslide. Machazi, who says he's the first black person to be elected councillor, was among 8 people who were elected in a tight race last night. He speaks to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube about his election.
While world leaders are preparing to meet in Paris in December, hoping to come up with a deal on climate change, communal farmers in Buera, Chimanimani, Chirezi districts of Manicaland and Mashingo, and others around the country will be trying to find ways on how to survive as climate change patterns continue to be distorted, negatively impacting their way of living, with low yields becoming the norm due to poor rainfall patterns. Miss Veronica Gundu Jakarasi, the acting deputy director in the Ministry of Environment, Water and Climate, says the government is worried by the impact of climate change on rural communities in particular, hence its efforts to take remedial action.
The ministry has initiated the National Adaptation Development Process, realizing that the impacts of climate change are increasing in frequency and our communities are continuing to suffer this brutal effect of climate change.
She says the adaptation plan is meant to ensure food security is improved in affected districts of Zimbabwe. Under the plan, the government will encourage to grow drought-resilient crop varieties such as sorghum and millet and early maturing varieties. Farmers will also be taught how to harvest rainfall for irrigation purposes. Ms. Jakarasi says a lot of awareness campaigns are needed to ensure word reaches every communal farmer to teach them how they can mitigate climate change.
Our national adaptation plan will look at all the sectors and their vulnerability to the impacts of climate change and how we can improve our resilience towards those impacts.
She says Zimbabwe has received $4 million from Oxfam and other development partners to put the adaptation plan into action in the country's worst affected districts through pilot programs.
The government of Zimbabwe has managed to get $4 million, which is being accessed through Oxfam and is being implemented in 3 districts, including Chimanimani, Buera, and Chirezi, looking at possible adaptation options that the communities can engage in.
Dr. Leonard Duunganai of Oxfam says his organization is operating in the 3 districts of Buera, Chimanimani, and Chirezi, in collaboration with other partners that are implementing the pilot project to help communal farmers deal with the effects of climate change.
And also, one thing that we realized is that whatever you do, you also need to pay attention to issues of access to markets, access to raw finance or finance that is reasonably priced. And also in most of these areas, pastures are in a desperate situation. You need to pay attention to them, as well as issues of rainwater harvesting.
Lecturer Walter Shinurai with the University of Zimbabwe and also Marondera College of Agriculture, Science and Technology says Zimbabwe is struggling to deal with climate change challenges.
Okay, Zimbabwe, just like any other developing country, is constrained by three categories of issues, mainly to do with access to information relating to public awareness, or information relating to climate change education, and also research and development for climate change issues. Then there's also problems to do with technologies, with inadequate capacity to generate technologies, and where the technologies, we cannot generate them, there is inadequate capacity to transfer them from, you know, developed countries where most technologies are prominently, you know, produced.
Shunurai himself, a climate change expert, says it is difficult to plan and set aside a budget to deal specifically with climate change, since it is hard to predict how it can manifest itself. It could be floods, drought, or anything else. He, however, says that communities would continue to wallow in poverty as they continue to be exposed to the pangs of changing climate if governments are not prepared. According to the Food and Agriculture Organization, crop yields in Southern Africa have been reduced by about 15% due to climate change effects as rain seasons have become shorter and shorter, resulting in many people needing food aid to survive. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Damoyo.
That I would like to apologize for that mix-up. That, in fact, was a story on climate change that has devastated communities in Africa, with drought becoming the order of the day. And to mitigate against this and other effects of climate change, a senior official in the Environment Ministry says the government has adopted a climate change adaptation program.
And in sports news, we go to the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee, which has pledged its full support to the Mighty Warriors following their weekend qualifications for Rio 2016 to ensure all impediments on the road to international showcase are removed. The Zimbabwe Olympic Committee Secretary General Anna Muguni tells us more on the issue.
The role of the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee is to enter, essentially to participate the team. And also we play a critical role in ensuring that their preparations are well underway. We are approximately 9 to 11 months from the game. Therefore, we have a very critical role to play, but essentially to enter the team and to make sure that they participate.
And also we've seen other organizations like the Zimbabwe Football Administration itself facing financial challenges. What about the Olympic Committee of Zimbabwe? What's the situation when it comes to your ability to actually finance the Mighty Warriors to travel to Rio?
I think what is essential to realize is the Mighty Warriors is one team. It is a single discipline in what is known as Team Zimbabwe, the Olympic team that travels to the Games. So it is our responsibility to ensure that any athletes who have qualified and have met the qualification criteria and are subsequently confirmed as participating in the Games going to attend the Games. So I'm not going to dwell on the football team alone. I'm going to dwell on the entire team that will be taking part, and we will ensure that they will be in Rio.
That was the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee Secretary General Anna Muguni on the line from Harare.
And remember, on Studio 7 Live Talk Youth Connection, we are talking about the issue of hunger that has forced hundreds of students to drop out of school.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
It's opposition parties galore, with former Energy Minister Elton Mangoma set to be elected leader of the newly formed Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe.
Many say he's a lightweight, but African National Party President Egypt Idzinemu Nenjwa says he will unseat President Mugabe come 2018.
And First Lady Grace Mugabe's name thrown into student politics.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye saying good night.